Songs that we sang this morning were powerful, weren't they? Amen. Talk about our great God, how good God is to us. Amen. Let's just bow our heads and just for a few moments of just saying, Lord, I'm so grateful that I serve you. Thank you that you have pulled me out of darkness, out of fear, out of all this stuff to belong to you. And you have declared yourself to us to be compassionate and kind and loving and merciful. What a privilege it is. What a privilege you have given to us to be able to enter into your presence, your very throne room. God, you are so good. You are so good to me. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Bless the sharing of the word. Overlook the mistakes that I carry with me as a human being. And override them, but allow the Holy Spirit to take what is really needed, register it in the hearts of the people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's a great day to be alive. Come on, amen. Great day to be alive. Well, let's get to the word. But before I do that, we share the gospel. What does the gospel mean? How many of you know? But are shy to tell me. The gospel means good news. We are commanded to share good news. We always receive a lot of bad news. But good news is the thing that God wants us to share. And, you know, we want to talk this morning about communion again. But I'm going to look at the book of Psalms, a very familiar portion of Scripture. Many of us know that. We have even memorized it. But the book of Psalms is a truly majestic masterpiece of literature. Psalm 23 is called the most comforting psalm of all. Everybody knows Psalm 23. All right, now you know. What's it called? Psalm 23. Okay, all right. Whether you memorize it or not, I don't know. But you know it's Psalm 23. It's comforting scripture. But this morning, I will go to what they call the Mount Everest of praise psalms. And this is found in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Can we read this together? This is a modern translation. I like this translation very much. Let's read it together. Can we do that? Remember, we must make declaration. We already said there are declarations made over our country every time. You hear it loud and clear. So as the church, we must speak out the word of God boldly. Must make declarations into the air. Can I hear an amen? All right, so let's read this together right from the top. With my whole heart, with my whole life, and with my innermost being, I bow in wonder and love before you, Holy God. My whole being praise the Lord, and how could I ever forget the miracles of kindness you've done for me? You kissed my heart with forgiveness in spite of all I've done. You've healed me inside and out from my every disease. You deliver my life from the pit. You've crowned me with love and mercy. You satisfy my every desire with good things. You've supercharged my life so that I soar again like a flying eagle in the sky. Hallelujah. I like to call this the communion psalm or the gospel psalm. Most of us know this psalm. We have, bless the Lord, O my soul, you know. Forget not all his benefits. I like the modern translation because it has got so much in it, and it tries to take out of the Hebrew as much as it possibly can. Here is David expressing his innermost desire. I mean, intellectually, spiritually, physically, his whole being is crying out to praise God. And one of the things, you know, we were in the minister's retreat. One of the things that we were reminded as ministers, there were about maybe 400 over, close to 450, 500 ministers and their spouses together. We were reminded again the power of praise, the power of praising God. Because sometimes, you know, as pastors, we are so focused on the message we want to share. But you notice, I love worship. Worship is one thing, but we need to also get to praise God, to say, God, I praise you. And we were talking in the meeting about learning to shout once again. Shout the praises of God. The Bible is full of expressions where David is basically shouting out to God. Shout unto God with a voice, come on. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God. You're not reading your Bibles, man. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Come on, amen. The Bible commands us to shout, to lift up our voices. Something happens in the atmosphere. In fact, we were told, you know, in this meeting, that the guy who was sharing with us, he said they have found out, these are non-Christians, who have found out something scratches, this is the word they use, something scratches the atmosphere when people shout. Not just shouting praises. They're talking about like in a football match. Amen. All right? Oh, in other places when we scream in fear, when there's a loud shout from a human being, something scratches the atmosphere. That's interesting. So we, you know, the devil and his powers are called principalities and powers of the air. So when we shout our praises to God, something happens in the atmosphere. We scratch the powers of darkness. We damage their powers when we begin to praise Him loudly. Oh, let's go. Why must I praise God loudly? I can love Him in my heart. What? I think if you did that, you would have never got your wife. If you just said, I can love from a distance from my heart. What? Don't have to say anything. No wonder wives and husbands have a lot of problems when the wife wants the husband to say, Say la, last time can say 25 times a day, can say or so. Now cannot say. We shout our praises, the God of benefits. This morning as we come to communion, I want us to understand the benefits of what Christ has done for us. The reason why every time we come to communion, I want to share something about it, is because we have lost the wonder of what communion does. We take it as a symbol. We just come and, okay, let's partake of the bread, let's partake of the cup. It means almost nothing, but it costs God everything. Jesus said, do this by remembering me. Remember me when you do this. Remember why I came. Remember what I did. Remember the benefits that is produced by what I have done for you. David, 1,000 years before Christ even came on the scene, is shouting the praises of God, understanding by faith what the gospel is all about, what salvation is involved. And he shouts out all the benefits that come with it. Come on, amen. And we who have experienced it, thank God. Aren't you glad, you know, we don't require you to bring a bull or doves to the temple or lamb. Sometimes I encourage you to bring some mutton curry, but no sacrifices of lamb, no sacrifices of animals inside this temple. Can you imagine the temple flowing with blood? Flowing, rivers of blood would flow out of the temple. We don't have to do all these things. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was sacrificed for us once and for all. And through that, we have benefits. That's why I say, don't just camp at the cross, you know, picturing Christ hanging on the cross for you, feeling sad for Him. He's no longer on the cross. But what He did on the cross, we must enjoy the benefits of it. Otherwise, salvation means nothing. Christ did something powerful on the cross, amen? And David sings out all the praises. The first thing, let me go very quickly because, you know, at the end of it, how many of you have heard of Bill Johnson? Bill Johnson runs a powerful church. He's a sixth-generation preacher. In other words, all his grandparents, great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were all preachers. Comes from a very rich Christian heritage, but God gave him a tremendous breakthrough when he began to see tremendous healings in his church. Some of the songs that we sing are from his church, from Bethel Church, all right? Powerful, powerful ministry. So I'm going to let him kind of close the service this morning in the sense that, you know, he's going to share something about communion. And it is very, very powerful. I keep telling members, you know, when they are sick, whatever they do, take communion 3 times a day. I tell them to do it in their homes. You don't need a pastor to serve you communion. Jesus says, as my disciple, you can, as my child, practice communion. Do this as often as you can, and you will find a tremendous release of God's power in your life. Come on, amen. Our faith is not in the emblem. Our faith is in what it represents. What Jesus did for us on the cross. That's where our faith is. Amen? And we want to enjoy the benefits. Very simple benefits. The first one is absolution. The word is absolution. And it means this. To completely exonerate. To pardon completely as to leave no evidence of an offense done. Better word for it, forgiveness. That powerful. So forgiveness is completely exonerate, to pardon completely as to leave no evidence of an offense done. That's how he forgives us. Now we often say, you know, God forgets our sin. God forgets nothing. If God can forget our sin, he can forget you. Am I correct? God forgets nothing, but he chooses not to remember. It's a choice that he makes. And then he says to us, as my Father has forgiven you, so forgive one another. That's tough, isn't it? To completely exonerate. To make sure that there is no more evidence left at all. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To be forgiven by God. You know, there is absolutely no evidence. That's why the enemy cannot come and find fault with me. Why? Because it's gone. When God has forgiven me, God has truly absolved me from all that I've ever done. There is no evidence at all to show that I have sinned against God. Come on, church. Aren't you glad there's no evidence against you? You can open the closet now. No more skeletons in the closet. Can I hear an amen? That's good news, man. That's good news. Because there are people who are still trying to pay for their sins. They do not know whether the gods would accept them. They keep trying year after year after year. That's why Jesus came. The good news is Jesus came so that all of our sins could be washed away. Completely washed away so that there would be absolutely no evidence of our sins at all. You don't have to pay for it anymore. Isn't that good news? Oy. All right, wake the person up beside you. Just wake them up, shake them a little bit and say, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Your sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. It's gone. It's no more. Not only the penalty of sin has been taken away from me, also the power of sin has been removed. Sin has got no more power over my life. The Bible says if sin does have power over our lives, it's because we give in to it. For sin has got no more power over it. It stands at the door, right at the beginning itself. He told us how sin operates. When Cain wanted to kill his brother, God saw what was going to happen. He knew it was going to take place. And he warned Cain and he says, now listen, Cain, sin is standing outside your door. Now you've got a choice now to let it in. Unfortunately, Cain made the bad mistake of opening the door and murder entered his heart. Same thing with Judas. It says Satan entered his heart, which meant that there was an opening given. Now we thank God that our sins are gone and the door is closed. You now have the power to say no to sin. Come on. Amen. We are completely exonerated. Let me go quickly to the next one. Absolved of all of it. The next benefit that I receive is healing. Who forgives all of my sin. You heal me inside and out from every disease. Now the word heals me of all my iniquities or all my infirmities. The word has to do with the idea of brokenness. In other words, God takes broken vessels, broken hearts, broken bodies, broken marriages, broken businesses. God is in the business of healing everything broken. Come on. If there's a crack, God is able to heal that. You know, he talks about the ministry of Jesus. It says, a smoking flax he will not extinguish. A bruised reed he will not break. Now, it's simply, you know, when we see, like, those of you who do gardening, this morning Joanna was sharing with the leaders about gardening. And she talked about, you know, she not being a good gardener, and I say amen to that. And she has a way of turning everything green into brown. And so, but you got to really attend to it. But the moment something begins to get a little bit brown, or something just kind of bends off and you know there's no more life to it and it's already bruised, you kind of cut it off. But he says, when I come, I'm not going to cut it off. I'm going to take it and I'm going to make it good again. See, the reed that he's speaking about is the reed that Judas had in his box. It says he had the money box. Remember, he had the money box. They keep a reed inside, which simply also means that Judas was one of the main guys to play music for the group wherever they travel. He used a reed in order to put it into his instrument so he would blow a little kind of a flute. So everybody would begin to, you know, sing along to the key that he gave them, Judas gave them. Now, when the reed is bruised, they often throw it away and get a new reed. But God does not get new reeds. He takes the old one and he makes it good again so that we can once again sing for joy. That's the purpose of God coming. That's the good news. We lost our song somewhere down the line. Something hit us really hard. We went through a period of trauma, whatever we have gone through, you know, and it hurt us so badly, we lost our song. Wonderful to see little children, even babies. Even Stefan's little baby and now Jada, a few months old. The moment music starts, they know how to clap. You have seen Jada, haven't you? You know she's nice and round. And her hands can hardly reach, but she's still trying to reach. The fingertips touch because she's too chubby. Some of you, our hands can go all the way to our back. We still don't clap. Clap your hands, all you people. Little kids. When song, they are born, we are all born with a song in our heart. But somewhere down the line, things happen. Bad things happen to us. And we lose our song. It's gone. And, oh, you know, some time ago, there was this guy when we were pioneering our church. One of the, kind of forgot his name, man. Sheesh. But he was one of the main country singers in Malaysia. And he had surgery done. He had a big tumor in his head. And then after that, you know, he could hardly walk. He forgot his words. And how many of you know Randy Travis? Have you heard of Randy Travis? You guys need all backslidden. You must go back and listen to country songs. I'm a country fan. And anyway, Randy Travis had a stroke, and he's trying to sing. And this guy came to our church trying to recover. Then eventually he said, Pastor, can I sing with you? And so somebody played the piano, and we began to sing together. The speech was really slurred, but he was trying to get back. It's like, I want to sing again. This is bad. I lost my song. It's a terrible thing to feel on the inside when you lose your song. And God wants to restore it. If your business is broken, you find something has happened in the family, you've gone through a traumatic experience in your life, whatever it is you have gone through, I want you to know one of the benefits of salvation, one of the benefits of the good news is this: God brings healing. Simple message, isn't it? God wants to heal our lives. He wants to heal our brokenness. Where the joy is gone, where the song has been taken away from our hearts, God wants to bring it again. Exodus 15, verse 26, I am the Lord who heals you. Listen very carefully, please. Doctors can help you go so far. They can perform surgery, but you know, at the end of the day, it takes God to heal your wounds. God is still the healer. He has designed our bodies in such a way that amazingly, behind it all is the hand of God. God is the healer. That's why whenever somebody goes through an experience, we always say, let's pray that God will heal her quicker than normal. By the way, let me just pause here. Can we put our hands together and welcome Mr. and Mrs. Ian and Eloise Ma. Would you please stand? Stand, 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 stand. Let's welcome this new couple. They are in church today. Hallelujah. Not on their honeymoon. Very well trained. God bless you both. You may be seated. Okay. I just happened to notice them. So God brings healing. Amen. Wonderful. I am the Lord who heals you. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good. Now, our translation says, and healing. It simply means went about doing good, healing everyone. That's the doing good part. Amen? He brings good things into our lives. Say amen. You're about to have a new beginning. Listen, man, when you come and partake of communion, you've got to believe that everything's about to change. Everything is about to change. You must believe that. It's a new beginning. When you do this, you are proclaiming what I have done. That's what Jesus meant. For whenever we do this, we proclaim His death. We proclaim His coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are proclaiming that what He did at Calvary is powerful. And number two, that He's always the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's going to come back as such. Amen. Come on, man, wake me up. Oh, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, 24. He personally carried our sins in His bodies on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. But by His wounds, you are, come on, you are healed. Say it one more time. By His wounds, the right translation says, by His stripes, we were healed. Our faith is in a finished work. Amen. Not is, I am going to get healed. It is because I believe in that, the healing power of God is available to me. Number three, redemption. Redemption. He begins to declare, He redeems our life from destruction. The translation we read, you deliver my life from the pit. I like the Hebrew translation. And that's what it means. It means the pit that you are in now, He comes to take you out to greater things. Now, people put us in pits. Ask Joseph. All right? Ask Daniel. They take you and they throw you into a pit. Ask Paul and Silas. People, problems, powers throw us into pits. But your destination is not the pit. That's the thing we've got to understand. It is not, I am fated to be here. We do not believe in being fated. We believe in faith. And the thing we need to understand is, the pit is part of the journey to something greater. Ask Joseph. It was not his destination. It was his God's way of taking him to a level he had never been before. Ask Daniel. He was taken and thrown into the lion's den or the lion's pit. It was a great pit because it tells us later when he was delivered, the enemy was thrown in, and before they could hit bottom, the lions jumped up and broke all their bones and began to devour them. So ask him, and he will tell you a story that is so unbelievable of how God takes him out, and the moment he is delivered from that pit, what happens? The laws of the country begin to get changed. No man can talk against the God of Daniel, or they will be put to death. What a transformation of the laws of a nation because somebody was in a pit. So when God delivers you from a pit, as He wants to, no matter how deep you may think you are in and how troubled you may feel inside of your soul and you feel a whole darkness on the inside of you, I want you to know that when God delivers you out, there is always something greater in store. He's got a better plan. He's got a better destiny than where you are at right now. Amen. Oh, in life, we are thrown into pits many times. Pits of depression, of discouragement, of despondency, completely financially broke. We know what it is to be way down in a pit. But oh, now we are here singing the praises of God. You are kept safe, aren't you? The reason why you are sitting here is because you have been kept safe. God has redeemed you from a pit. And if you feel like you are in one now, I want you to know He's got a greater plan for you, man. Come on, amen. There is always something greater. Every experience. That's why I love the Bible. It talks about people who went through some really terrible times. Terrible, terrible times. We talked about Ruth. We talked about Naomi. We talked about Joseph. We talked about heroes in the Bible. Every one of them were thrown somewhere down the line into a pit. That's Jonah, man. He talks from the bottom of the ocean. How deep can you get? Cries out from the bottom. But when he comes out, an entire nation is saved. God has always got greater things. Paul and Silas beaten, thrown into the deep dungeon. When they come out of it, an entire household. And we have the book of Philippi written to us. Where? Because somebody went through the pit and can say, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen. He redeems us. Number four, he crowns us. Oh, hallelujah. I will crown you. Bedeck your brow with tender mercies, with love and with mercies. When he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, from his brow he began to sweat drops of blood. They put a crown of thorns upon him. One of the biggest problems we have is our minds. The torment we have, the sleepless nights, the worry, the anxiety, all the things that we have with our minds, which most of the time no one can help us. We can try to comfort you, we can try to give you the word, but most of the time, I mean, we go through some torment. Temptations that we face. The Bible talks about temptation being a tremendous torment even to Jesus. In the days of his flesh when he was tormented by trials. Temptations have a torment on us as well. Right? Come on. There are many things that we go through in life that really cause us to sometimes you have to take things in order to go to bed because the things torment you. Well, it tells us he comes now to remove those crowns of thorns that you are wearing because he wore them. Calvary begins to tell us this story. You don't have to wear that crown of thorns anymore. He wore it once and for all. Not only did he take away our sins, but he took away our torment. Come on, amen? That good news? Is that good news? It's good news to me. My wife really believes in that. That's why every night she sleeps, she's out like a light bulb. No anxiety, no worry whatsoever. One is because the Lord delivered her. Number two is because she's got a wonderful husband like me. So God has crowned her with love and kindness. Hallelujah. Love from God, kindness from me, man. All right. So God has got many crowns for us. He's got a crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory, the crown of rewards. God has got different crowns that we need to wear. I'm not talking about real physical crowns. He's talking about where he takes away what we are having right now, exchanges it for something that is far better. Number five, the last one is, he satisfies me. Now, this is good because when I read it in the Hebrew translation, the whole thing reads like this. Even in your advanced age, all those who are senior citizens say amen. Amen. Talking to me, talking, that's why I like it. Even in your advanced age, you will be satisfied because of the good things which God will continually supply you. Your disposition will be that of a youth. Hallelujah. Indeed, you will continue to soar as the majestic eagle. Whew. Hallelujah. What do you say? Chris Gore and Gore almost stood up to dance. Which means from now until your advanced age, you will be satisfied. Temptation can only come to a person who is not satisfied. Whether it's temptation of pride, power, possessions, whatever it may be. Temptation only comes and you are gullible to it if you are not satisfied. If you are satisfied, nobody can tempt you. You're all right. I'm okay. You cannot be bribed because you are satisfied. Huh? Come on. See, if people offer you a drink, if you have drunk water, you're satisfied. If you've taken a meal, somebody says, let's go out and eat, you go, no thank you, I've just eaten, I'm satisfied. It is only the dissatisfied that fall into all kinds of trouble. So God is saying, listen, I will be your satisfaction. I can satisfy you. So we sing the song, you're all I need, you're all I need, Jesus is all I need. We sing a lot of songs, you're my hope, you're my life, you're my strength. Come on. Do we mean it? I hope you do. Because if you don't, then let God become so real that you can say, Lord, you're all I need. You satisfy the deepest yearnings of my heart. You're all I need. I find everything in you, Lord. Come on, amen. God, serving God, loving God. This is the good news. That when we love him, he's got the ability to touch our hearts in such a way we don't need anything else. You know, we don't understand this because we live in a very consumerism kind of an age where everything is give me kind of thing. And we are reduced to the well, the heap of an anthill, basically. That's what we are. We run around life gathering things and coming back home. Running out in life gathering things, carrying back and coming home. Just like the ant. Busy, busy, busy. All the time just gathering and bringing back home. That's all we do in life. We have been reduced to that. But if you go to other places where they've got nothing, and the only thing that they have is faith, watch them sing. Listen to the songs that come out from their hearts. They are joyful. They are emotional. They sing their very best to God. Why? Because God is everything to them. They have found satisfaction in Him. They are poor. They don't have fine facilities like we have. They don't have all the modern technology that we have. And yet they are satisfied because they found God to be their satisfaction. They found out that when they reached out to Him, that the good news is, when Jesus comes into my life, He will satisfy the longings of my soul. And once they found that, they sing songs, man, the way they worship, the way they clap. I went with Brother Risha and Pastor Guna to Jaffna, Sri Lanka. We have a sister here also from Sri Lanka. But we went to Jaffna. And the church is such a small little, I mean, dirt floor, just a little, you know, shack above. And they are sitting there. The way they are clapping and worshiping God, you begin to think, I'm missing something. We must have air condition. Aircon today are too hot. Only a little bit cooler. We've got music. Music today, a bit loud, no? So loud, I can't hear myself singing. We've got all these wonderful things, and we are still not satisfied. May God help us to know that in Christ we find our all in all. But this morning, I want us to know that there is tremendous power when we come to partake of communion. Tremendous power is released, okay? So I want us to watch this video just for a few minutes. I think it's about 6 to 10 minutes, less than that. But let's watch this together, shall we? Can we get the lights down? And then we'll watch this together. Loud sound.
My wife like to take communion every day, which means most every day we take communion. And it's become one of the most important parts of our lives. We started quite a while ago. I went through a real difficulty physically a couple years ago. And there was a time where I wasn't allowed to even have a small sip of water. I mean, nothing could be ingested. And so my wife would come, we'd hold hands, and she would take communion on my behalf, and we'd pray together. It's become a huge part of our life, and I'm going to explain to you the reason, because I believe that the Lord is going to do a miracle of healing in people's hearts, relationships, families. Many areas of life are going to be touched by this act. Communion was never meant to be reduced to a ritual or a routine. It was never intended for taking of the bread, taking of the cup together. It was never meant to mean merely looking back to a past event. God actually intended for life to be released through our obedience. In the kingdom, physical obedience brings spiritual release. There's always a connection between what we do. We raise our hands. We lift our voices. Water baptism. Water baptism is more than just getting wet. It's we do something in the natural that God releases power upon that individual at water baptism. Communion is the same thing. It represents the broken body. The bread represents the broken body of Jesus. When Benny and I take communion, sometimes individually, sometimes together, we take the bread and we break it. And we begin to pray for those that we know of that need a miracle in their body. The Bible says that by His stripes we were healed. His stripes is the torn flesh. This bread that you now hold in your hand actually represents the torn body of Jesus. I like to make proclamation. I like to make confession, declarations over my family, over my life. And so in that moment, I take the bread and we hold it before the Lord and we just start declaring these friends of ours or people that we know. Some of them we've never met, but they're dear to our hearts. And we mention her name, and we just will say something like, by the stripes of Jesus, Mark was healed. We declare cancer, leave his body. By the stripes of Jesus, Benny was healed. And we just go through this list of people, individually or together, corporately. But the point is Jesus made a payment for the miracle that you need. A friend of my wife's called her, maybe it's 2 years ago now, a year or two ago. And I actually wrote her a text and found out she was in the hospital. She was dying. She had 7 different diseases in her body. So my wife wrote her back and said, take communion every day. And she did. And I forget how many weeks it took, but it was, I think, within a month, this woman wrote back. She was out of the hospital. She was healed of every single disease. She's perfectly whole, perfectly well. This is not symbolic. This is life. This, Paul warned the believers in Corinth. He said many people actually sick and have been sick and have died because they didn't discern the body correctly. In the context, the body was the broken bread of Jesus. You hold something in your hand that's not a magic pill, but it is a moment of surrender where we yield our hearts to the work that Jesus has actually accomplished on our behalf. And in a moment, I'm going to have you confess with me, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I was and am healed. And he purchased with his broken body, literally, divine health. It is the inheritance of every believer. You say, well, why doesn't it happen? It happened for Israel in the wilderness. People who weren't born again under an inferior covenant. And that is supposed to matter to someone. I would like to suggest that often you take communion and remember the Lord and make confession, declaration of your household, your family, those that are closest to you. And make that confession almost like you were prophesying. By the stripes of Jesus, Kathy was and is healed. Parkinson's, you must go. And you stand with a legal basis, the legal basis for that victory. When it comes time for the cup, I'm giving you the instructions now so that I'll walk you through it a little quicker when it's time. When it comes to the cup, it's the blood of Jesus that sets us free. In fact, say that with me. The blood of Jesus sets me free. Say it with me. The blood of Jesus sets me free. There is no remission of sin. There is no forgiveness apart from the shedding of the blood of Jesus. This is the legal basis for all of that. What I like to do when it's time for Benny and me or myself individually to take the cup, I hold it before the Lord and I make this proclamation. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, in the Old Testament, one lamb was sacrificed.